The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
I still don't know, Stephen, how to necessarily feel about the PGA Tour right now, and especially, like, the playoffs have always been... Look, when you break it all down, everything's kind of made up, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything is, like,
didn't once exist. They're just trying to find where to put the money.
Correct. And with the playoffs... I still don't know how to feel about them. I don't know how to feel about it within the new PGA Tour schedule and the Tour Championship and all of this. But I will say this. At TPC in Memphis, it's kind of a fun back nine Sunday to watch. Like Xander kind of coming out of nowhere. And you got Scotty coming out of nowhere. And then Hideki making some interesting decisions, having a four-shot lead disappear. It ended up being a very fun Sunday afternoon with some of the best players in the world going head-to-head.
I also think that the volatility of the weekend with how the leaderboard works and it's ever-changing, because really, it's not about Xander and it's not about Scotty. It's about the guys 40 through 60 who are trying to make the top 50 to advance to Castle Pines for the BMW Championship. And with that, getting into all of the signature events for next PGA Tour season. That's a big deal to get into 8 signature events and the players by being among the top 50 to finish off the season. And that's kind of what I'm starting to really come around on with the FedEx Cup playoffs, is that volatility that you see on the back end of some of these tournaments. And I say that because, like, Nick Dunlop had everything to play for on the 72nd hole. He makes a par there, and he finds himself in the top 50. And he should really be in the top 25 if his American Express points actually counted.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you want to get me off on Nick Dunlap, I will rant about Nick Dunlap because he won 2 PGA Tour events this year. I understand the second was an opposite field event, but the first one was a full damn field event, and he didn't get any of the points. Okay, whatever. Don't give him the money. Because he's still an amateur at the time, and then he declares afterwards, I get that. That also sucks. But when you win on the PGA Tour, and then that makes you a PGA Tour member, you should get the damn points!
Yeah, I think one of 4 guys who won multiple events on the PGA Tour
yes.
this season, 4 or 5 maybe.
And he was like sweating to get into all of the signature events.
Yeah, but for us as a consumer, like, that was great drama.
Oh,
like,
without a doubt.
Him playing with Hideki, and Hideki, like, you know, melting to the ground
mm-hmm.
on the final few holes of that championship. Victor Hovland, you know, playing himself into potentially winning that tournament. Xander backdoors his way into potentially a playoff situation.
He almost chipped in, too.
Yeah, oh my, can you imagine if that goes down?
That was so
sick. Even Scottie Scheffler, like, he's probably coming in the final stretch of holes thinking, all right, you know, I'm going to
get a couple
good
looks
out of this. And he was one stroke away from finding himself a T2. So I thought it was incredible drama down the stretch. And the balance of Hideki making sure that the train stayed on the track on the 72nd hole, and then Dunlop playing for something totally different but the same.
Hideki took unnecessary risks on the 72nd hole with a one-shot lead.
You think he meant to hit it there? Kind of like Chris Kirk with his ace, where he admitted that he was not trying to take that aggressive of a line for his, you know, ace on the 14th hole on day one.
So, Hideki is one of the best ball strikers in the world. The thing that slows Hideki down is the putting. The putting's very volatile week to week. When the putts are going down like they were this week...
Holy cow, were they ever.
He finds himself, obviously, at the top of the leaderboard, because he's one of the best ball strikers, one of the best iron players in the world. Obviously, it's possible for him to hit a couple loose shots because, well, he hit a few of them on the back nine. I think he was firing at the flag. I think that's where he wanted to hit it. I don't know why he took on the risk, because he also took on a lot of risk with the tee shot. Like, he hit the aggressive tee shots.
Yeah.
Because
he played 3-wood on 18.
He did, which is kind of the play for everybody
yeah.
because you don't want to blow it way right. It's almost like... number 18 at TPC Sawgrass,
yep.
where driver's probably not the play, but still three wood, you're bringing some trouble into play with water left. And then he fires at a pin that's left, and he has to carry all this water.
Like the pin that is daring you to hit it towards the pin.
Oh, it's a sucker pin. It's like, if you have a one-shot lead, no, you just keep that ball. At no point is that ball going over wetness. It's just staying on dry land. You hit it to the right side of the green. You two-putt, you make your par, you win by one. Instead, he fires at it, because I think that's just who Hideki is. Yeah. I think he just takes on these risks, because I'm one of the best iron players in the world. Why wouldn't I just fire at it? And also, he didn't have his caddy with him.
Well, yeah.
He didn't have his normal caddy to be like, hey, Hideki, you know, like, maybe Hideki's like, oh, I'm going to take this on. And his normal caddy would be like, eh, maybe we don't. But whoever his replacement caddy's not talking him out of that.
Well, that was one of, low-key, one of the best stories of the entire weekend, was Hideki running away without his caddy or manager on property, who had, you know, their passport stolen on their way back from Paris. So Hideki, fortunately, left his passport along with his bronze medal in his hotel room in the safe, but the rest of his traveling party couldn't make it to TPC Southwind, and he goes out there and wins this tournament with a guy who has never caddied for him. And to your point, that final shot, you know, Hideki's so, like, calm. You can't read his facial expressions of any ball that he
hits. If it's going great, if it's going poorly, yeah. Like, he is...
So he takes another swing, and I'm thinking, all right, this ball's got to go in the water, right? Like, this guy, we're watching a full meltdown on display, and all of a sudden you see his caddy go, go. Go, go. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to get wet. It's going to get wet. And it just drops right next to the pin. And, you know, again,
one of the best ball strikers in the world.
As a golf fan, you think about what Bryson did on the 72nd hole at Pinehurst number 2. And you see what Hideki does on the 72nd hole to get himself that win at TPC Southwind. And you're like, man, it always delivers, right? Like, you hit the shot that everybody will talk about. They'll forget about him going, what, plus 4 on the 6 holes before that?
Yeah.
And he made the shot when it mattered, and it was a great finish to another event this season.
Are you going to be paying as close of attention? Because the top 30 is still important. Top 30 gets you into majors, you know, by making it to Eastlake. And that is kind of a big deal. Now, you know, Nick Dunlap certainly has a long way to go if he's somebody that is going to do that, because he's sitting there at 48th. But, you know, somebody like Max Homa, who's had a bit of a struggle this year, now he's sitting there at 43rd, you know, to get inside the top 30, to get all those exemptions, you know, into the big-time tournaments next year. Like, that's kind of big. I mean, otherwise, Max is going to really have to start to grind. I know there are other, obviously, top 50 exemptions when you're in the OWGR, which he is right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always nice to get inside that top 30 and get those exemptions.
And Max, I think, is pretty comfortable when it comes to the President's Cup, you know, in the fall, because of what he did at the Ryder Cup. I don't think we're going to worry about Max's future and exemptions or being a President's Cup team member. But for somebody like Nick Dunlop, like, why not? You know, why not buy into this guy right now and have something additional to root for outside of a good golf tournament? I'm really excited about Castle Pines, personally. It's a golf course that I don't even remember watching events there, but I've seen some videos there.
I had a friend of mine this weekend telling me when he used to live out in Colorado, like, he went to some of the events that were out there, and he said it's really cool.
Yeah.
But they haven't been out there in God knows how long.
I think 2006 was the last time they were out there. And just watching guys play, you know, in thin air and
at elevation.
And I'm excited to just see how that changes how guys play golf courses. You know, it's one that's into the mountains. It's got a lot of terrain difference. It's going to look very different than TPC Southwind. That BMW Championship is kind of flying all over the place historically in this FedEx Cup, you know, playoff situation. And I'm all in, man. I have not always been a big supporter of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and I have made this point in previous episodes, which you can listen on Wisconsin On Demand. I think the FedEx Cup playoff should be in the middle of the golf season, leading into the final major of the year, which is the Open. I think the golf schedule should end with the Open, and the FedEx Cup is a way to build towards the Open, not an additional event after the fact. But after watching this past weekend, this one has more juice than I feel like in years past, and I think it's because some of the top players in the world are really playing like it right now.
I mean, still, it just feels like a regular PGA Tour event to me. And especially when you have something like Rahm versus Brooks going on with Liv as they went, you know, as they were going head to head at the same time when this thing was going on. It's just a stark reminder of, yeah, this was all right, but it could be better. And you hear everybody talk, it's not anywhere near being resolved. Like, this is this is just the golf reality that we live in on the men's professional side. Like, I'm more excited for the Women's Open this week at St. Andrews than I am. Well, I'll check in. I'll check in on the BMW, certainly. But I don't know. It just, I wasn't glued to the FedEx St. Jude the way I have been in the past. I watched on Sunday afternoon, but it was more of just kind of passively checking in Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's still more of a passive checking in for me. Just because, again, I feel like it's all so broken. Now, we got the drama. We did, you know, certainly that was great. And so many of these tournaments this year feel like they've been able to deliver some fun moments. But I still just, I feel a disconnect with the men's professional game and being a fan of it and watching it like I haven't felt before.
I'll tell you what. I didn't think for a second about Liv. Even though I saw that it was Koepka and Rahm. Still just didn't really have that itch.
Well, did I flip over to CW and watch it? No. But, you know, scrolling through social media and seeing, oh yeah, those are two pretty big names.
Yeah.
They're kind of missing here. But kind of doesn't feel whole.
But you still didn't watch, is my point.
Oh, no. But also,
like, if you can't watch for Rahm versus Koepka.
Oh, sure. But I didn't watch the FedEx the way I've watched it in the past either. Like, it's just so, I just feel so defeated as a golf fan. Just so defeated as a golf fan.
Well, the hard reality is it ain't changing anytime soon.
No, and that goes into the defeat.
Yeah.
Of knowing and hearing everybody talk. Like, Max Homa had a great interview on No Laying Up last week, I think it was. They aired that episode. And, I mean, he's one of the upper echelon players, has certainly had conversations, and that just nobody has any idea on how to fix it.
Well, because they don't know any of the information behind it.
Well,
everybody's in the dark. And well, just when you thought you were brought into the light, last June 6th, it's all fizzled out since then. It feels like they're starting over.
Well, and it's because it's so complicated with the DOJ.
Of course.
Like, that complicates things of, you know, they were being sued because of antitrust laws and anti-competitive things, and now you can't just, like, magically come together. Like, from a legal standpoint, it's, I don't know, it's tough. It just, it's, again, I didn't tune in to Liv. Still don't know what it would take to get me to tune in to Liv.
But that's a perfect example. If Rahm versus Koepka can't get you to tune in, what else could possibly get you to tune in?
Oh, yeah, no. Those are the two biggest guys they have over there.
Well, and the two most still, quote-unquote, likable of the bunch, right?
Yeah,
you could probably throw Bryson in that
because of what he's done with his YouTube page. But I think somebody told, again, I haven't done the research of this myself, but in terms of, and this obviously doesn't include the guaranteed money that Bryson has, whatever his contract was when he agreed to go over there. But the money he's won this year on Liv, like, he's won more in the majors. Because his Liv, he's been terrible. He's not had a good season on Liv. He's had a much better major season. And I think he's made more money doing that than he has in prize money on Liv.
Well, it's funny you bring up Liv, because I want to present to you with a question.
Okay.
In our next segment.
We are going to hear that coming up next on the tee. It's presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Make sure you check out wisconsingolftrips.com for your next adventure and destination. We're going to Scotland with our friend Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips, but maybe you're looking for something more stateside, like Michigan, Nevada, you know, things like that. Or maybe just stuff here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Golf Trips can make sure that you have a great experience and a great golf trip with you, your buddies, your family, whoever. So just go to their website, wisconsingolftrips.com. All right, Steven has a live question that he wanted to lob my way. I'm terrified. I have no idea what this was. Before the show, he's like, hey, I've got this live thing. I want to bring this up. And whenever Steven gets Secret Squirrel on me and he's got an idea that he wants to bring up on the show, I just always get, I know it's going to be a good question, but I get a little nervous about what this Liv question is that you have.
Well, here's the thing. I don't watch Liv. We made that very clear in the last
previous segment.
But they still live all over my timeline on social media because I still follow the account and I follow golf people. And yeah, I did see that it was Brooks and Rahm in a playoff. And it made me think there was a name that came across my timeline.
Oh, boy.
That made me go, I totally forgot about that guy.
Taylor Gooch?
Here's my question. Who is one former big PGA Tour player that you have completely forgotten about because they joined LIV? And if it helps you think, I'm proud to present my answer to you first.
Okay, well, it's not going to be Dustin Johnson or Brooks or Rahm or Cam Smith. Big PGA Tour player. Like, because the problem with LIV is, like, Graham McDowell got suspended. Like, Graham McDowell should not be relevant in any PGA Tour. Like, he's just, he's under 50. Like,
I mean, he came across my timeline for cheating.
Yeah.
He took what, NyQuil or something?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, okay. some sort of, yeah. Well, cough sure. medicine that wasn't approved. He should have checked to see if it was approved. But, you know, they're very serious about these things. So, unlike other tours, because, you know, even though you get suspended for taking something you shouldn't have to, you're not allowed to, you still need to take shots at the PGA Tour in the statement that you put out.
Naturally. I think it has to be in their contract, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you make a public statement, you have to denounce
PGA
Tour.
Yes, you have to take some sort of shot at the PGA Tour. So I'm not going to say it's Bubba. I'm not going to say it's Pat Perez.
You're further proving my point, which is amazing.
I'm trying to think who else. Bubba, by the way, I think finished below the cut line, but he's a captain, so I don't think it really matters for him.
Because you'll see them do their press conferences and be like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Bubba's there, and he loves to talk about how LIV has changed the game, and they're so proud. I think this was their 100th event since the PGA Tour.
Really? They've had 100? No, they haven't had 100 events yet. There's no way.
Maybe 100th like round. I don't know. It was some milestone round number that he had.
This thing's only been around for like 3 years.
Opportunity to reflect
they're not playing.
Maybe it was 100th round. That
might make more sense. I don't know. I don't care.
All right. So you ready for the name?
Okay. And let me think if I can think of anybody else here. I'm trying to think of some of the other captains that exist over there. Well, we make fun of Gooch on a pretty regular basis. So
I hope the people that are listening are just flying through their. They're LIV players off the top of their head, because you still have not named said person.
Mark Leishman.
No.
Oh, boy. Who else am I forgetting? I'm completely out at this point.
Louis Oosthuizen. I forgot the guy even existed.
Well, yeah, but you should forget that Louis Oosthuizen doesn't exist right now.
Why should I forget? He has a runner-up at all four majors. He has a name that I have coined, the Louis.
Sure, but... Also, he hasn't been relevant in golf, like, since he did that. I mean, I guess he did it.
He finished runner-up at the 2021 U.S. Open.
He did finish runner-up at the 2021.
And the 2021 PGA Championship.
2021 PGA.
He has finished up. He was second at the Masters in 2012.
Okay.
Second at the U.S. Open in 2015 and 2021. Second at the Open in 2015.
Wait,
and
he
second
finished
at the PGA Championship in 2017 and 2021.
Wait, he finished second to Phil? So I guess I didn't realize he got that close, because I just remember Brooks and Phil, because they were paired together down the stretch, because 2021 was Kiwa, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Phil at 50.
Yeah.
Louis Oosthuizen.
His
name came on my timeline because he top 10'd in this event, and I go, not going to lie.
That doesn't mean anything.
I totally forgot you existed as a human being.
Well, again, because I just don't think that you should be... I mean, at 41 years old, I guess, yeah, having that surprise T2 at the PGA that year, but he hasn't been exactly...
He made over $30 million on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, he was good. Like, he was a really good player. Won an Open Championship at St. Andrews. Like, that's big-time stuff, but... I mean, I wasn't exactly expecting, I was expecting somebody bigger than Louis Oosthuizen, because I put Louis almost in that Kevin Na category.
Oh, that is disrespectful to Louis. Not like we owe him anything on this program. Kevin Na?
Yeah.
That's a deep diss.
I just don't care.
I don't know Kevin Na at all, but I will never forgive him for the way he blasted Aaron Hills at the 2017 U.S. Open with his videos complaining about the fescue that was... on the outside of 50-yard fairways.
Yeah, look, if you're a professional golfer, you can't hit the 50-yard fairway. You don't get to complain and talk about, oh, maybe the player should set up. Yeah, whatever, Kevin. Have enough of you. I thought you were going to say, like, Abraham Answer.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's another guy.
Because at least Abraham Answer...
didn't do anything on the PGA Tour.
No, but
like,
he
had an incredible career.
Oh, sure, but at least Abraham Answer... Like, you could talk yourself into Abraham Answer right now, somehow being... And he hasn't been relevant on LIV, so maybe it's tough to convince yourself, but... It seemed like he was a player who was on his way to breaking through. You know what I'm saying? Before he went to LIV. It's like, oh man, maybe this Abraham Answer, maybe he's got some, you know, a little bit to him, and he just kind of completely disappeared.
How many team names can you name from LIV?
Okay, so there's 12 teams, right?
This says 13.
Oh, that's right, because they added Legion. So Legion 23.
If I could name three, I would have been impressed with myself.
Oh, it's Legion 23.
Yeah.
You got the Fireballs.
Two.
You got the Cliques. You've got the Range Goats. You've got... okay, so I'm at four right now. The Four Aces.
Yeah, almost got...
Yeah, who... I mean,
still
everybody
a lawsuit
knows.
With Alabama, right?
Are they?
Didn't Alabama sue them for
they
a similar logo?
They should have, because it was incredibly similar. They've been bad, by the way. Every time I see somebody tweeting about them, it's how bad they are this year.
You haven't named the team.
The team?
That has been on display more than any other team, courtesy of their leader.
So you got the High Flyers, you've got, which is Phil's team. Smash?
Smash, yeah, that's Koepka's team.
Okay, Smash is Koepka's team. God, what team is Bryson? Who is he? Why can't I remember Bryson's team name?
Come on.
Because he wears, I mean, he's like...
The best LIV advertisement out there is Bryson's gear.
It's funny because Bryson wears all of his LIV gear everywhere he goes. And even during LIV events, Koepka does not wear Team Smash gear. It's just hilarious. It's fantastic. Gosh.
He has a good deal with Nike.
Yeah, he does.
That's why.
Yeah. Man, why can't I think of... Bryson is the... I don't know. What's Bryson's team
the
name?
Crushers.
The Crushers. Damn it. Damn it. So there's like five more.
Second place are Cam Smith's Rippers.
Oh, Ripper GC.
There's Torque, which is Joaquin Neiman's squad.
Okay, sure.
The Ironheads, your boy
Kevin
Na.
I forgot about the Ironheads. How can you forget?
Our boy Louis Oosthuizen, friend of program. The Stingers. Did you have them?
I did not have the Stingers.
And then I think the last team you did not answer was the team with three captains?
Oh, yeah. They've got three captains.
The Majestics, which is Poulter, Westwood, and Stenson's squad.
Yeah, three captains. If you have three captains, do you have a captain?
By the way, they finished dead last in the event at the Greenbrier. The winning team total was minus 53. That was Koepka's team. Mm-hmm. Koepka, Gooch, Kokrak, and McDowell. The Majestics finished at 17 under.
Oof.
That's tough.
So, if this ever comes together, it seems like what I keep hearing is this idea of PGA Tour schedule going from January to whenever. You know, maybe it's the end of August. But then you have this fun, and I don't want to call it a silly season, because if there's a lot of money at stake, but then you have team golf. Because I think part of the problem with LIV is it's trying to be a hybrid. And it's tough, I think, to be a hybrid. Like, what am I supposed to care about? The team success, the individual success? And I think you make different decisions if you're a player, if it's strictly team or if it's strictly individual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think...
It's confusing, outside of team names in general.
So you know, the team names are absolutely horrific as well. But I think that there is... It seems like if and when this ever comes together, you'll have a regular tour schedule, and then you're going to have, I don't know, eight team events during the off-season, if that's what you want to do. My guess is like the TGL just goes away, if it ever even gets off the ground. Things like that kind of go away.
Do you envision a time, because Jay Monahan's comments before the FedEx Cup playoffs were
depressing.
Depressing, right? About the future of a potential merger and where this game goes. So it feels like at least next year, probably the year or two after that, there will still be a splintered professional men's golf game.
I'll put the over-under at 2029.
If they can't come together, and maybe they don't want to, who knows? We don't know anything, is I think what we've all learned. How would you feel about a PGA Tour versus LIV team match event? Oh, could you ever see it happening, or will it never be a thing?
I would love to see it happen. It would be fantastic viewership. It would be light years better than the President's Cup. And it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. They're never going to agree to it. They're never going to agree to terms. Like, if they could figure out a way to do it right now, just do it right now, man.
That's what I'm
saying. It's an exhibition. Like, it is something you could actually tangibly sell. Like, right now, I bet CBS and NBC are regretting the deal that they signed with the PGA Tour a little bit. Now, they haven't reached the point where they're trying to back out of the deals, as far as we know yet. But they're probably regretting their new TV deals because they paid a lot more money and the ratings have gone down. And, man, would it? But you know who'd be lining up for a Ryder Cup-esque event between LIV and the PGA Tour for men's golf supremacy? Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. That'd be fantastic.
The problem is
everybody,
that
ESPN, like people who don't even broadcast golf right now would try to dive in headfirst to buy these rights because the ratings would be through the damn roof.
It would be such a win for the golf fan, but the PGA Tour has everything to lose by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because LIV is licking their chops. An opportunity to say, we have better talent.
Yeah.
And if we don't win, we're not supposed to win. I mean, that's a dream scenario for LIV.
Mm-hmm.
And if they happen to have a couple of their guys, I mean, you think about some of the finishes they've had at major championships that have allowed them to puff their chest a little bit. So that's why I don't see it happening, because the PGA Tour has, outside of financially, something
because
to gain. They have nothing to gain.
Because, again, the fan finishes last in golf. It's just the way it is. And
I don't think that's just a golf thing. That's a sports thing. Look what's happening in the NBA right now, too. Right?
Sure. I think that the fan experience in the NFL, I mean, maybe you're still finishing last, but, I mean, everybody eats there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's not bad to be an NFL fan right now.
Well, they were able to corner the market on fantasy sports.
Yeah.
And betting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Better than any other sport.
100%. So I think, you know, I think they make it easy to be a fan. Like, it's kind of difficult to be a golf fan right now. Kind of make it hard.
There has to be something figured out with, and I hate using the exact phrase that the PGA Tour is using, with elevated events, but they need to elevate their events.
Well, no, they need to actually elevate the events.
Yeah.
Like, just calling it an elevated event doesn't actually make it so.
Nope. We don't care about the money anymore as a consumer. Like, it's monopoly money to most of us.
Yeah.
The fact that Scottie Scheffler might walk away with $50 million this year still makes us feel numb when we heard about the reported deal that Jon Rahm signed earlier this season for $500+ million, right?
Like what, as a Packers fan, like Jordan Love making the contract, good for him. You know, I'm glad that the only thing that was important to me wasn't necessarily the final numbers. Yeah, we talked about it a lot on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, what they are, what they could be, all that sort of thing, because part of it's interesting. But at my core, I don't care how much Jordan Love gets paid. I'm just happy that they got a deal done, so he's out there on the field.
Yeah, because I think most fans finally understand that there's money and then there's real money, right? Like a lot of these, especially in the NFL, like not everything's guaranteed. And we don't know what the LIV contracts actually look like.
That's a
huge part of all of this.
100%.
And how they potentially move forward with a merger. I mean, I think that's why we heard these comments from Jon Rahm, you know, reportedly regretting his decision to move to LIV, because he thought he was playing chess when everybody else was playing checkers, and he was going to make his move right before the merger. The merger never happened, and now we don't know if we have the best version of Rahm moving forward from a mental standpoint of how he approaches golf and whether he made the right decision for him and his family. Yeah, the financial part is there, but does he feel fulfilled anymore? Doesn't seem like it. So I know these are just roundabout conversations about the game of golf that we've had many times over the last year and a half, but it is still amazing that we're having them, and we have no path forward at this point. So that's why, to bring this full circle, I have nothing else but to lean into the FedEx Cup playoffs at this point. Why not?
So we just got done watching the FedEx St. Jude. In terms of importance on the golf calendar, and we'll just keep it to this year, so a non-Ryder Cup year. In terms of importance, what number event, in importance, is the FedEx St. Jude opening playoff event, where a lot of things were just determined. You get into the signature events next year if you're top 50. You get to move on to the next round of the playoffs. What number event is it in terms of importance?
I like this. I like this as a Gruber Law Office's one call. That's all pick for this week. That's a great question,
because
in my head I'm obviously. I'll even give you my 1 through 4.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Masters, yeah. 1.
Well, it's the majors in any
it's
order.
It's the Open, 2.
Yep.
It's the U.S. Open, 3.
Yeah.
The PGA, 4.
Yep.
Players, 5.
Uh-huh.
This is where it starts to get interesting. I will probably go with, because it feels like the beginning of something. This is going to be out there.
No, you're picking 6? The Century. Yeah, no, the Century's in the top 10 for sure.
And then I'll probably go Tour Championship 7.
Okay.
I'll go Bay Hill 8.
Okay.
I'll go Pebble, because I just got to,
yeah,
love
it's
that
Pebble.
Golf course.
It's Pebble.
9.
What about Riv? What about Riv?
Oh, gosh.
You putting Riv on there? What about the Memorial?
No, Memorial's not in my top 10.
All right.
Riv is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is Riv number 10? We're trying to figure out what number 10 here
I'll
is
go
on 10. Your list.
I'll go Riv 10.
Okay. Waste management? Is waste management ahead of
I got a sour experience going in person. It was way too much of a bro fest for me. It kind of made me lose a little respect for the tournament.
yeah, it's because you're too old now. You waited too long to go. That's your problem.
That's true. Yeah. 25-year-old Steven would have probably been 2.
So the larger point
I'm
that I'm
making your
here,
point. I'm
yes.
making your point. I
because,
understand that. But
because think of any other sport that you're a fan of, a team that you're a fan of. You know, like for the Green Bay Packers, they're playing in a playoff game, the opening round of the playoffs. That's the most important game of the season. And I understand it's different regular sports because you have the four majors. But the fact that we're naming other regular season events that are higher up in terms of priority and probably prestige in winning,
but they're elevated events.
I think this purse was lower than all the other elevated events.
It was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Then what are we doing, man? Like, the playoff, when you say the word playoff, they should be the most important thing. And look, the PGA Tour has nothing to do with the four majors. So even if we throw out the four majors, these three events should be the biggest and most important thing that the PGA Tour puts together. Because in every other sport, no matter what it is, you put the word playoffs out there, I guess, except for auto racing, because the Daytona 500's the biggest thing they have in NASCAR. But everything else, you say the word playoffs, it's got your attention.
Yep.
It's going to be huge. You say playoffs on the PGA Tour, and it's like, meh. Meh. Because
that's why I want to see a bracket style.
Oh, I think they need to reimagine this. They need to.
I would love to see a bracket style, quote unquote, playoffs.
We've talked about this too. I hate the I hate the net championship that they do.
Make it the top 64, right? And just have a U.S. AM style match play event, and that is your playoffs. And maybe it's over a couple of different courses, so it's not one course design that fits one type of swing. Go from FedEx St. Jude into, you know, Castle Pines, and finished at East Lake, and have them play 2 matches, one on Thursday, one on Saturday, one on Friday, one on Sunday, and stagger it and build your match play toward a championship.
Again, all good ideas, but I think, again, the larger point I'm making is the playoffs aren't nearly as big as they should be, as much as the PGA Tour wants them to be a thing. So I want to dive into a video quickly coming up next that was making its rounds on the internet on Monday. That's pretty funny. I love the idea. We'll see if Steven loves the idea. After I tell you about our friends at the Wisconsin Country Club, Steven and I are part of it. Steven's got his WCC hoodie on. I believe you got that after your ace last year.
Yeah, this will always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, after the ace.
I got this with my pro shop.
We're coming up on a year anniversary for that, aren't we?
Yes, August 26th.
Okay, so next Monday.
I have to double check the date, but it was late August.
All right, next Monday. Are you going to like do a ceremonial swim across the pond?
I'm just
going to
play
celebrate?
11 all day.
Okay,
and see if I can recreate the moment.
But the reason why we belong out there is we love the golf course. It's absolutely fantastic. They do a great job of keeping it in tip top shape. It is a challenging course. It is a fun course. But maybe you're looking for a club experience that is more than golf, but The Wisconsin Country Club certainly has you covered there as well. Great pool events, Sunday fun days at the pool. So just check it out. Go to thewisconsincountryclub.com for more details.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
There was a video, and I had a lot of people send this to me, and I sent it to you, Stephen. I'm sure you saw it even before I sent it
actually,
to you.
No, the first time I saw it was from your text message.
So there was, I don't even know where this was, but somebody had pulled it off of a Reddit thread of a scramble championship where there was a playoff. There were two teams at 10 under. They didn't do a scorecard playoff. They decided to take the two teams out to whatever hole and play in a playoff. I wish the video was longer, Stephen, because it left off on a cliffhanger. These two teams were horrific. They were terrible. Every last golf swing of the eight players that I saw was horrific. One team who supposedly shot 10 under par had to take a penalty drop. Not a single one of them. It's not like it was a tight, you know, they weren't playing 17 at Sawgrass where they rinsed it and they brought everybody out on the tee. So everybody gets to watch these guys. They had to take a drop, and then their next best shot after that was long right on the green. So they're chipping for par, and that's when the video ended. It was when this team is chipping for par after being in a playoff to win a scramble. So they were probably making bogey at best, because they certainly were not, I guarantee you, to chip in. I love this idea. I love this idea of, hey, if you're going to cheat in our scramble, we're going to put you on blast, and you are going to have to play in front of everybody and be ridiculed after you obviously are not good enough as a team to shoot 10 under par.
Well, and the best part is that it's on video. So we get to have these guys take the shame walk for eternity. This is a problem in golf outings, is there's always that group. It feels like more and more, the more outings I go to, and so many of these are for charity and they're, you know, great causes, and there always has to be that group that will, you know, pick up their putts and give themselves five chances instead of four. And they come in with these big numbers.
Well, so that's always the issue, right? Is a lot of them, and I understand there's no better way to do it, they sell the mulligans.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, we're going to use a mulligan. You know, you buy three, you end up using seven.
And I'm not saying, like, and that's great, right? Because that's going to a good cause.
Ultimately,
that is ultimately what you were there for.
Correct.
That
you're
day.
Raising money for the cause.
But I think you can have both, right? You can have people buy 15 mulligans, go out there and shoot 15 under, but then we got to put them in front of everybody to finish.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some side bets and there's more opportunity to raise money for a good cause. I loved this concept because it's not a buddy's trip. It's not a member guest where you might know the person. We're putting strangers on blast. We want to see what you got. All right? We want to see that collectively the four of you were able to somehow get to minus 15, minus 18. Heck, we've seen some scores minus early 20s in some golf outings recently. Yeah, of course I want to see what you're all about. And if maybe there's an opportunity to make more money for a good cause because of it, why not? I thought it was genius.
I thought it was fantastic. It was such a great idea to put everybody out there and keep everybody. Just because I know how nervous I was, again, going back to the member guest, like teeing off in an alternate shot format with everybody watching. Like, this is the most people, you know, it crosses your mind, like, damn, this is the most people have ever watched me, like, swing a golf club. Like, this is an actual gallery down there,
yeah,
at, you know, by the green watching us hit these shots.
And
so,
in your head, you think they're going to remember everything you do, but you're the only one who actually...
You are the only one.
...actually cares.
Well, but if you do something like swing and miss...
Like a Tom Lee walk-off putt, yeah.
Yeah, no, a Tom Lee walk-off putt, they'll remember. But if you, like, swing and miss, or, like, top it, you know, just stone-cold top it, like, that's what you're worried about.
Now... You know, most golf outings go a little too long, so the thought of adding another hole could be a negative,
yeah.
I would see.
Well,
but
because the
right crowd, the right event,
yes.
The right cause, I say why not go out there and battle to the end and showcase who truly is the winner of the event.
There's an event, it's not for charity, at Brown Deer every year, it's called the Hoodoo. It's always in late October, it's like one of the last events that they do out there, and it's basically they're cleaning out the pro shop. And that's a lot of the prizes that are given away and raffles and all that. Last year, they went to two groups. So you had 8 golfers teeing off. Kind of, again, trying to keep everybody honest, right? Keeping everybody honest instead of just you being out there. Now, it ended up being a longer day at the golf course for anybody out there who wanted to play. Because, you know, that's going to take a while, but that's what you have to do. It just stinks that it comes to this because so many people just write down whatever score they want before the tournament even begins.
Yeah. Gosh. It's a problem. It's a problem when you have people cutting corners like that, but can't fix that.
No, unless you're going to put them
on blast.
Yeah. Which was fantastic. I was out at the Bog yesterday. GolfTheBog.com is the website. You can check it out. Beautiful piece of property. I was playing a WSGA event out there. They actually did a WSGA event. They had net partners in the morning. I played in the late round two-man scramble with a partner of mine. And you should be able to go out there and check out the golf course as well. Again, book your tee time. GolfTheBog.com. Steven and I are going to be out there in just a couple of weeks. GolfTheBog.com. Host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open, Erin Hills. Place you should be checking out if you haven't played out there already. Steven and I cannot recommend it enough. One of our happy places, ranked a top 10 public golf course in the country by Golf Digest. Check out their website, erinhills.com, to book your stay and play packages for 2025. Second FedEx Cup playoff events. Coming up at Castle Pines. Going to be interesting out there in Colorado this week. Taking a look at the list of participants. Again, the top 50 have moved on here. Only the top 30 will advance. Who do you like this week, Stephen, as your Gruber Lofts is one call? That's all.
Well, something that's going to be fun to watch is I was reading an article about Castle Pines. If you hit a 300-yard drive, it will go 320 yards.
Okay.
At elevation. You hit a 7-iron, might be 180 yards, it's going to go 200 yards. So that's going to be kind of a fun game within the game, watching these guys play something they're not used to. That favors a guy like Big Tone. I love Tony Finau this upcoming week, but my Gruber Law Office's one call that's all pick is, how do you bet against the two horses right now on PGA Tour in Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele? I just love Xander in this event. He hits it far. He's so locked in right now. He's playing the best golf in the world right now, even though Scottie Scheffler might have the resume that stands out between the two this golf season. I still think I'm taking X-Man at elevation. Xander Schauffele is my Gruber Law Office's one call that's all pick.
Just a couple of things. So I think I would have been able to guess who was in the top five before I looked at this. But Wyndham Clark is sixth. Has he had that good of a year? I feel like people have been ripping him recently because he hasn't played well in majors. I know he won Pebble earlier this year.
That was the big one. He and a bunch of top fives.
I mean,
top tens, I believe.
Patrick Cantlay's in the top 10. Has he had that good of a year? I feel like all year people have been talking about, hey, where's Patrick Cantlay? What's Cantlay doing? That's wild.
Well,
to
remember Wyndham Clark early on had that. He had back-to-back runner finishes to Scotty.
Yes, he did, and so he won. And
it
again,
was Bay Hill Players. Third at RBC Heritage.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And then having a win at a signature event as well, so that probably carries it. That makes sense. But Patrick Cantlay hasn't won this year, right?
No,
he's in the top 10.
4 top 10 finishes. I don't know what he did this past week.
He finished T12.
So yeah, 4 top 10 finishes.
Yeah, kind of seems weird.
Yeah,
that he's in the top 10. But again, it is what it is.
If Patrick Cantlay, that will not be good for the future of the FedEx Cup playoffs. If Cantlay goes out and wins,
I think he might.
You're gonna
he's playoff
him?
P. Yeah. He's playoff P, man.
Yeah, he is. Man.
So what do you think about? Again, we've spent a lot of time talking about the playoff because before this tournament began, Scottie Scheffler called it kind of silly. The FedEx Cup. Play. I mean, that's not great when the best player in the game.
Mr. Monahan slapped him on the wrist a little bit.
Yeah, he does have a point. Like they have
does
to.
He?
Well, he does because you can't market this as a season-long race, and then have the playoffs be as volatile as they are. The playoffs are supposed to be all volatile. I get that, but then you can't market this as the season-long race for the FedEx Cup because it's a season-long race until you hit the postseason. And as Scotty has pointed out, like if he doesn't play well next week, despite him having far and away the best season, he's not going to finish number one in the FedEx Cup.
But they stagger the strokes. I mean, he's going to start with an advantage.
Yeah, with a two-stroke advantage.
Which, I'm sorry, if you're Scottie Scheffler and you're getting two strokes, for most, like, that's like five.
It should
the
be.
The way he's played this year.
It, well, he should have legitimately five. They should just give him five. I think they should, however, how many ever more points but you have you than everybody else.
You can't complain about, like, it not being interesting and then being like, oh, Scottie, just give him five. Yeah. Then it's not fun for anybody.
Well, no, but then you can't, what my point is, make it volatile or call it a season-long race. You can't make it volatile while still, oh, yeah, this is a season-long race for the FedEx Cup. Because those two things directly contradict one another.
I'm telling you, that's why I feel like match play is the answer.
Oh, I'm sure.
With Scottie against 64.
But that's also, but again, that's also very volatile. That's more volatile than this.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
What we want what? Viewership. We want excitement.
Well, but that's the problem if the 64th guy beats Scottie.
And that's on Scottie.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to be exciting for the viewer. There's the larger point is there's really no good answer. But again, you can't market thing like...
What? The NFL. You talk about that, right?
Yeah.
That being the gold standard?
Yeah.
Don't you love the parody of the NFL?
Yeah, well, the parody...
Don't you love the fact that you have a one seed that might lose to a wild card seed?
Yes.
That your Green Bay Packers went on and won a Super Bowl?
But they don't market it as a season-long race to the Super Bowl.
But it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Correct, but it's about how you market it and what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's
the
larger point.
So they have an identity crisis, is what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
I want volatility.
So do I. But then you just can't. Then it's not a season-long race anymore.
But
which
I think
is fine.
I think the rewarding Scottie appropriately by giving him two strokes in one event.
Yeah,
mind you, he's already made $30 million this year in his elevated events. He's doing just fine.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's up to him to go out and take the final 20 mil.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Xander's in that two spot, only two shots behind, Xander's going to dust him at East Lake.
Which will be a fascinating conversation of who then is the player of the year.
Because Xander
loves that player.
Oh, man. You want to talk about a horse for a course. That dude just, he like wins the gross championship there every year.
Yeah.
When they do like the shadow leaderboard for OWGR stuff.
Yeah, maybe I was
stuff.
A week early on Xander. I should just pick him next
week. Oh, yeah, you just hold on to him for next week
One
if you
other
can.
Thing, too, is shout out to Victor Hovland. He has been so open about battling demons this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to watch him at the top of a leaderboard again and go out there at TPC Southwind, defending FedEx Cup champion, you know, talking about how he's overthought his swing changes, and then he comes out, and you know, I appreciate somebody who's transparent and still can go out there and perform in the way that he did and still remains so likable. Hovland has a forever fan in me in watching him play the game, even though
he made
me cry about 10 times in the Ryder Cup.
Well, that, and you love the Jay Lindenberg stuff.
Yeah.
57-16 is how he jumped up. He is now inside, has an inside track to get to East Lake as well. I'm sure we'll talk about East Lake. We'll talk about whatever else comes up in the world of golf next week on the T.